my God. War. Another war. Bush warns Iran. Who knows anymore? Iran's defiance will bring consequences. Doesn't this sound exactly what was going on before Iraq? Sounds exactly the same. And it's the same bullshit. You tell me what they're building. They say they're building nuclear power plant. Prove to me they're not. Don't bring out those aluminum tubes again. Oh, I bet you could do that. What percentage of the American public, you could probably wave those fucking aluminum tubes right in their face again, and they'd fall for it a second time. They would. He's warning them. Bush says the world faces a grave threat from Iran. People are going to fall for this again. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I can't believe this. I really can't. I mean, even stupidity has to have, like, some limit. Is stupidity infinite? Is there no limit to stupidity that they're going to fall for this? The world now faces a grave threat from the radical regime in Iran, demonstrated by the war between Hezbollah and Israel. The Iranian-backed Hezbollah. The war that was started by Israel. But, you know, fuck it. You know, let's ignore that. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Can I jump out a window? We're on the 37th floor. I just need to end this. I can't take it. They're going to do this. If they bomb Iran, that is going to be the end of the world. It just is. You can't keep doing this. You can't keep doing this. What is wrong with him? And, by the way, I looked something up. I looked up, like, why this guy, you know, there's all this brewing. Now they're all, like, in hysterics, the Republicans, because the ex-president, Khatami, he's here already. And he's speaking at there's this gigantic Muslim convocation. Where the hell was it? In Texas or somewhere? I don't know. There's like tens of thousands of Muslims somewhere or other having a big Muslim convention. The airlines must have loved that. Can you imagine that? All these Muslims had to go to wherever they're having this convention. So, over the last couple of days, like, every airplane in America must have been full of Muslims. You know, so they must have been, what were all the geniuses? Oh, my God, the ones who get hysterical every time they see a person who looks Muslim. People must have been in hysterics for the last couple of days while they were going. So this ex-president, Khatami, is going to speak at this convention, and then he may go speak somewhere else. But they also say Jimmy Carter wants to meet with him because they can open up what they call a backdoor channel, you know, because Bush, of course, won't talk to anybody. Which, if I was that stupid, I wouldn't talk to anybody. That's probably why he won't talk to anybody. You know, the more people he talks to, the more people are going, what a moron. So, they think, you know, you can open up these backdoor channels of communication. So, the Carter Center will not commit itself. They won't say whether Jimmy Carter is going to meet with Khatami or not. But I was trying to remember, like, why Khatami is no longer the president of Iran. Because remember, he was going to be the big reformer. Remember, he was the guy, he was like, oh, God, he was, you know, like Bill Clinton or somebody. So I looked it up. Now, most of what I read on Wikipedia, which, you know, to me, frankly, you can't believe that, but I read other stuff. Khatami is no longer the president of Iran because he was elected and then he was elected again. And just like here, you can only serve two terms. So that's why he's not the president of Iran anymore. And Aman, I can't, somebody told me a way to remember, and it has to do with Beans Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad, or something like that. So that's why Khatami isn't the president anymore. Because he served his two terms. But the thing, instead of Bush yelling about a radical regime, this is just like with Hamas getting elected in the Palestinian territories. This man was elected by the people of Iran. So get over it. Why they believe in democracy? Oh, God, we have to bring democracy at the point of a gun. Force everybody to have a democracy, except if they will elect somebody I don't like. They had elections. He is the third person, I think, to ever be elected president of Iran in open elections. Now, I don't know, I guess I should have looked up if they had the international monitors, if they were deemed fair election. But this man was elected. And it wasn't like some election where one person runs. When he got elected, they had elections and runoffs and fights with the, you know, it was like a whole thing. But he was elected, which is something that I think is important. Like, you people call up. Maybe you should call up other right-wing shows and point this out to the right-wing host. This man is not the dictator. He was not appointed. He didn't wake up one day and make himself the president of Iran. He was elected with, I think, a higher turnout than we have. I think they had a 63% turnout. And he won, you know, by a nice margin. And to listen, they never say that he wasn't elected. You know, these people are so sneaky, these Republicans, because they don't say anything. I mean, they never allude to how this guy became the president of Iran, do they? They never allude to it. But somehow, if you just were to listen to them, you would sort of get the impression, you know, that he became the president in some illegitimate fashion. And he didn't. They had an election, and the people of Iran chose him. And he had been the mayor of Tehran, so people must have had some idea, you know, of what he was thinking. So they're going to, I mean, Saddam Hussein, he was the dictator. You know, because he would run. They had elections in Iraq. He would run for office, and he'd get like 102% of the vote. But this guy didn't seize power. So it might be interesting, you know, really, if somebody would call some of these right-wing talk show hosts and say, like, do you know this guy was elected in an election? I mean, of course, you know, try telling them that Hamas was elected. And they're making all the right-wing talk show hosts, I noticed, one of the themes we had, you know, since I got to here, because Savage was off Monday, there was some asshole filling in for him, is, you know, those two Fox News guys that had been captured in Gaza, and they were released, and they said the people who captured them held guns to their head and made them convert to Islam. Well, you would think that was the worst thing in the world. They're talking about how horrible it is. that they held guns to their heads and made them... I mean, obviously, if somebody's holding a gun to your head and you convert to Islam, Muhammad knows you didn't mean it. And God knows you didn't mean it. So you're not in trouble with your own religion. You're not Muslim either. Wow, God, you would think that was the worst thing anybody ever did. And I'm thinking, did anybody ever read about what the Catholic missionaries did to people in Africa? How do you think all those people in Africa, like, became Christians? You think they really even knew they were becoming Christians? It is just unbelievable to me. Amana Jada, whatever, was elected. Alright, so Bush says, you know, consequences. And, and then Amana Jababa. See, you know what the problem is? I didn't read this article, but I keep hearing everybody talking about it. Alright, we all know Bush is a born-again fundamentalist, you know, Christian. I mean, he is so far from being any kind of a Christian that if I was a Christian, I'd be insulted that he would even suggest he's a Christian. But he's the kind of Christian who thinks there's, you know, you have to have Armageddon and, you know, then the rapture, which I always imagine is like Mary Poppins. You know, they're all going to go up with umbrellas. And, you know, then Jesus comes back. And that makes you nervous. You know, you don't want a president who believes that you need Armageddon when he's in a position to create it, right? Well, you know, the head of Iran, guess what? There is a part of the Muslim religion that believes there has to be Armageddon for some, I don't know, something, some fabulous thing is going to happen. So you've got this nut over here wanting the world to end so Jesus can come back. And unfortunately, he is now pitted against some Muslim nut who believes in some Muslim Armageddon before, you know, something or other is going to happen. And you've got two people who could create Armageddon who both want Armageddon. This is not good for all the rest of us. Because you'd say... I keep saying, like, why would this guy in Iran keep goading Bush? You know, because if you have half a brain, you already know Bush, you know, he's a psycho. Or the people around him are. Right? So why would this Iranian guy, whatever damage Iran could do to Israel, I would think. I mean, I don't think they could really do much to us, could they? Whatever they could do to Israel, the end result of them doing anything would be they get blown off the face of the earth. We would just nuke them so fast they wouldn't know what hit them, right? So what is he up to? Well, he's looking for Armageddon, and Bush is looking for Armageddon, and we're just, like, caught in the middle. We're just caught in the middle, like everybody living on the whole planet Earth is caught in the middle but these two fucking assholes who believe in Armageddon. Oh, my God, merciful. Oh, God. You know, I'm a talk show host. I'm supposed to know what to say, but, you know, what the fuck, I'm the past. You know, I guess the future knows what to say. All right, I'm going to take a break, and I'll post this story. How about that? Bush, Iran's defiance will bring consequences. Ay, 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 but not for you. Not even from Iran. From us, we'll all suffer. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146. That is not how you spell consequences. That is definitely not how you... I don't have time to, like, fix this. I don't... Although, I'll tell you how many times I fix... I add something to my website during a break, and it's not there when I go home. I don't understand that. Well, I don't know what this even says anymore, because that is not how you spell consequences. But Bush says Iran's defiance will have consequences. Just read it. We are so screwed. It is so over. We are so dead. Hey, Joanne.
Oh, hello, hello. Oh, Lynn, you are a doll. You are my savior. Listen, I would canonize you if I could.
But anyway, I'm Jewish, so they wouldn't let you.
I know that, dear. I know, but I just discovered you a few weeks ago. And all I can say, while we're watching helplessly victims as the Bush-Cheney follies push the civilized world over the precipice, I can just say you're a light. You are a light in this madness, in this absurdity. And also, I can laugh as you ask, let's see, is stupidity infinite? That's it. That's it. I'm going to tell my son this when he comes home today.
Are you, what you told Garrett?
Yes, I am, dear.
You're Al DeMano's sister?
Yes. He has one. He has a brother, and he is so blessed with a sister. And I am a New Yorker, but I've been living for 20 years in Chicago.
People love Chicago. Do you love Chicago?
Yes, it's a fun, beautiful place. The people are lovely. It's a very compared to New York City. It's much lower in its intensity, so you can live here much more peacefully.
Oh, I have to look into that.
Yeah, New York is madness.
Well, also, you tell your brother for me, that I often say that one of the few regrets in my life is that the last time he ran, that I didn't vote for him instead of Chuck Schumer, who I think is the biggest fucking asshole that ever lived. At least with Alphonse D'Amato, who I used to call Senator Demento. I used to call him that on the air. You didn't hear it because you were in Chicago.
No, exactly.
And I once did it at a dinner. Right to his face, I called him Senator Demento.
Oh, I love it.
He loved me. And I'm telling you, my theory was, at least with Alphonse D'Amato, you knew what the hell you were getting.
Exactly. He's
not with this sack of shit, Charles Schumer.
Oh, my Lord. But I just discovered you, as I said, a few weeks ago, and I don't miss your program. Otherwise, I'll have to listen in the early hours of the morning when they repeat you. Is that correct?
They don't repeat me, do they? Garrett, do they repeat me? They do? I didn't even know that. I'm the last to know.
Exactly. Because
Kara tells me they do.
Yeah, so now you're finding out something.
So you mean like when I can't sleep and I wake up in the middle of the night, I could listen to myself?
Yes, you can receive a lullaby.
Oh,
yourself.
Fabulous. Okay, thanks, hon.
Marvelous. I love you, and someday I really hope that I have the honor to speak with you and directly and to meet you.
Okay.
I really look forward to this. I visit my family. Well, you know, there's going to be a San Gennaro's on September 9th, and my mom is putting up her tomatoes. That's the big thing. This weekend they do the tomatoes at the D'Amato house. She puts up like cake.
You say tomato when I say D'Amato.
You got it. You got it. I will give my brother your message, dear, and I hope. Oh, and of course, please reconsider moving down to the Deep South. We lived there for 5 years in Tallahassee, and speaking of the redneck territory, look out, baby.
I don't know. They speak slowly, and they put gravy on everything.
Yeah, you're telling me.
It's the gravy, darling. Oh, it's just the gravy.
Dear.
Thank you, Joanne.
And I will give Senator Dementor your very gracious regard.
Okay, thank you, hon.
Bye.
Well, look at that. My ex-senator's current sister. That is so funny. Oh, Bush's speech today. Did I take a break? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So, I don't know why. I'm suddenly like blanking. It's because I'm the past. That's why. Because I'm the past. Kenny in Ohio.
Yeah, Lynn, I just called to say that I think the only reason why Bush is trying to push this thing through with Iran is because of the fact that if the Democrats take either the House or the Senate back in November, then he won't be able to wage his wars. And I think that
He never got permission to go to war with Iraq. He'll just bomb Iran and he'll say it isn't a war.
goddammit. But see,
he doesn't have to ask Congress. Why does he give a crap about Congress?
Yeah. Well, he just needs to make sure that no Democrats are in control of the House and the Senate, because otherwise they're not going to vote for no war. No one's going
to. He doesn't need them. I'm trying to explain to you. He doesn't need them to vote for a war.
Hmm.
He doesn't need them because none of them declare war anymore. Korea wasn't even a war. Vietnam wasn't a war. So you don't need Congress. They just say it's a police action or, oh, we just had a bomb Iran. They don't care what Congress says. Thank you. They don't care what anybody says. Oh.
Hello?
Are you still on the phone with that person?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I was literally listening to the president's speech. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Oh, God.
Here's the problem. This country is being ran by a bunch of frat type.
Yes?
White boys. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. If you look at it, they are very, if you've gone to college, you remember those fraternities where all the blue hair, blonde eyes, connected white boys got together. They weren't smart. They did all the women, and they just lived a privileged life.
Yep.
That is how this country is being run. This country, and I've seen it even in my corporate life, where reason and rationale and diversity and fairness, all that goes to the wayside. Because even today, the mantra is, in order to get ahead in this country, you have to be networked or connected. It's not about fairness, and all that networking and connect, that breeds racism and sexism and every other kind of ism. Now, one of the things that I get upset about is everybody talking about this Condoleezza Rice. Oh, she's so articulate. She is like an articulate frat whore to me, because all she does is carry out Bush's order. He probably slaps her on the ass every morning. It's just that kind of flat mentality that's running this country. And then we're pumped. If you ever read the Roman Empire?
No, I actually never
did.
Yeah,
the Fall of the Roman Empire. I recommend everybody reads it, because this pattern is going on in this country. We're being pumped with entertainment. Everybody views the United States, what we're doing, like a football game. We're fighting for freedom. It's either us or them. And we're becoming very xenophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's happening to this country. And it's been going on for a while. Even in our educational system, we're taught to put down the right answer, but we're not taught to question why that answer is right. And so we don't read. We know more about entertainers and football players than we do about politicians.
I certainly do.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. We're not even the United States. It's no different. I lived overseas, so I had a chance to look at us from living overseas. And I didn't just go visit. I lived over there. I lived in London, and I lived in Africa, several countries in Africa. And when you look at how the United States operates, it's almost like we have a herd mentality. The sound bites. We really don't. We just catch it on the news and then we regurgitate it. And we don't go through an analysis of why things are happening. And this country right now depends on that ignorance.
Yes, and they're trying to propagate it. This No Child Left Behind crap, where all kids are supposed to learn now is how to pass some tests.
Hey,
not to think,
not to be critical thinkers, not to question, because in a frat culture, when you don't question what's going on, you just follow suit just to get along.
I think you put your finger on it exactly, but something, everything I say, everything you say, what good does it do when these people are about to get us all killed? They really are.
Yes.
So when we all get killed, you'll be dead and I'll be dead, even though we may be the only two people in this country who even understand what's going on.
But Lynn, I do believe, there were the prophets of old I do believe that rationale and reason will always prevail.
Oh, God, hope you're right.
It just will take time. But, one of the things that's going to happen, and one of the things, because I have a teenager, I really feel that they were going to institute a draft in this country. And that is one of the saddest things, looking at what you had on your website about all of these only 25 a year people are being killed and just thrown to slaughter. in this country. Yep. I think at some point there will be a wake-up call.
Well, and, I hope you're right. I got to run, babe.
Okay.
But thank you for calling, even though your name disappeared from this. I don't even know who you are. But that was a great call. Kathy in Florida.
Hi, Lynn. I wanted to know if you happened to catch Keith Olbermann's show last night.
No, I didn't, because unfortunately he's on the same time as Michael Savage.
Well, he did a tirade at the beginning of the show, and then at the end he did his own personal comment against the Bush administration and said that he read Edward R. Murrow's famous speech about how you should watch what's going on and the government's going to take over, and it was excellent, excellent. I can't paraphrase everything he said, but he was fuming, foaming at the mouth.
Oh, well, then I'm sure it's either on YouTube or Crooks and Lawyers or something. Yeah, I'll look for it.
It was excellent. And he says, I might not be on the air tomorrow night after I finish this.
When he started
talking.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. He might. He has no audience. Do you realize he has the smallest audience of any cable show, practically?
But he's truthful like you are, is the problem.
And he's intelligent, and the show is funny, and I don't understand why everybody isn't watching Keith Olbermann. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll look for it.
He was warning the people that they got to start getting involved because they're taking over the insane asylum here.
Yeah, I know. It really is scary. Have a lovely long weekend. I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't like to be, like, so negative. Well, actually, I do sort of like to be negative. But it just seems like so hopeless. Talking about people not on tomorrow. You know, when I leave here and I'm, you know, on my way home, I flip on Air America. And Mike Malloy had been filling in for Randy Rhodes this week, which is wonderful because I like him much better. And we don't even hear Mike Malloy in New York. We haven't heard Mike Malloy in New York for months because they sold the New York Times to those skanky satellite sisters. And I'm listening to Alex this morning. Well, I turned on Randy yesterday, and I'm saying, boy, Malloy sounds weird. And he did, because it was Tom Hartman. That's why Malloy sounded so weird yesterday. And it turns out, I discover listening to Alex, since I don't go to message boards, Air America Radio fired Mike Malloy. And they claim it was over money. I once got fired over money. I was working one day a week at WABC, owned by Disney. I was making $25,000, and they fired me because they couldn't afford it. Literally, I was supposed to believe that. It had nothing to do with that I was a liberal. So I'm, like, really upset, even though I really hardly ever get to hear Mike Malloy. You know, I have to stream his old shows of White Rose Society or something. So, Jesus. Air America, take your tent, fold it up, just leave, just go away. They have gotten rid of the two best people they ever had. That guy that called Alex, that Mark Maron and Mike Malloy. And what do they have? They have Al Franken, who's going to leave anyway. What the fuck are they going to do when Franken leaves? Just go off the air. You are so useless. I'll tell you something. All the liberals, we ought to get together and, like, sue the management of Air America. Because forever after, the right wing is going to say, you see, left-wing radio just can't compete. Well, it certainly could if they had decent management. Jeez. Oh, I better take a break. We're never going to get to the tabloids. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146. Jared in South Bend.
Hey, Lynn, how are you?
Okay, what's up?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that you are absolutely 100% right about Mark Maron. I love that guy. I used to listen to his show in the morning in Air America when I was still in New York. And he's just awesome. Like, you've almost certainly met him and stuff.
I never met him.
Oh, really?
I was going to go see him. I told this whole long story Monday. He was playing in New York at a comedy club over the weekend, and I wanted to go see him. And then the comedy club just figured they wouldn't make a reservation if you didn't give them your phone number, and I wouldn't give them my phone number. And then they're saying, and you can't come. You can't, like, just walk in. You have to have a reservation.
Okay.
So, but I never have met Marc Maron.
He used to come into this coffee shop in Brooklyn, and they used to do the show from this coffee shop.
Oh, yeah, I know. They used to do it in the morning sometimes.
Yeah, oh, it was awesome.
I kept thinking I'd run into him somewhere because he was living out in Queens, and I thought I'd meet him on the train.
Yeah, I think did he live in Flatbush? I forget.
Oh, I thought he lived in Queens.
Oh, okay. I don't know. So, the other thing I was going to say is, when did this happen to Mike Malloy?
Yesterday. You know something? I was listening to him filling in for Randy. And on Monday, he didn't make a big announcement, but he mentioned that he was going to be back on the air in New York. Because they're moving to a different station in New York tomorrow.
Yeah, they're not 1190 anymore, right?
Yeah, they're going to 1600, which is another story, because nobody can get that station.
Okay.
But he mentioned on Randy's show Monday that he was going to be back on in New York, and I'm like, oh, God, how fabulous. You know, he's going to be back in New York instead of those fucking satellite sisters.
Well, and he mentioned this, like, I think maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Well, he mentioned it Monday, and then they apparently fired him yesterday.
And
that's exactly how they fired Marc Maron, if you remember. He was negotiating in good faith. He thought everything would be fine, and then they fired him. What scumbags over there?
I wrote him an email the first time he talked about that, and I was like, you know what? Like, this is my plan. I like Alex Bennett. I think he's a good guy. He usually has an okay show. But, like, in a perfect world, what I would like to see happen is Sirius move Steph Miller live in the morning into Alex's slot and give Mike Malloy Steph's slot right now, because she doesn't have a live slot on Sirius right now. Because I love Mike Malloy, and I really wish that he would have it.
Oh, God. And Mike Malloy, do you realize if he could, like, curse and everything?
Oh, yeah.
If he could just say anything, he'd be great. Why aren't you, like, email customer care or something? Call up. There's customer. We have that customer care thing.
Okay.
Serious. So just, you know, they'll direct it to the right person.
I am going to do that.
Okay, because I'm going to start nagging everybody, too.
Yeah.
But not too much, because, you know, if I nag people too much, it very often has, like, the opposite effect. So just a little bit. Thanks, hon.
All right, bye.
Bye. That management at Air America, I'm telling you, thank God they never got in touch with me. I'm happy here. I work for nice people. John in Wyoming.
Hi there, Liz. Nice to hear your voice. I listen to your show most every day.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on some of your previous callers there. And, you know, seems to me with the president can have a police action or whatever, but it does take Congress. You know, they got like 30 days or something to withhold the funds from prolonging it, you know. So
we notice how much of the funds they've withheld from Iraq.
Well, we got all one party. That's not a good thing. The other gentleman that called relating us to a herd mentality, if I could just color in a little bit, you know, to give hope, you know, which one of my hopes is, you know, in that herd, you know, a wind comes or a twig snaps or something, and one of the animals will stick their head up, you know, and so I see enough of that happening eventually. Enough heads up and a critical mass, and overnight, you know.
I hope so. And you ought to know, you're out in Wyoming. You really know from real animals, I guess. Okay, thanks, honey.
Thank you.
Well, we have our heads up. You know, we heard the twig snapping. That's a great analogy. We heard the twig snapping. And where has it gotten us? What good has it done? Not much. Josh in Massachusetts.
How's it going?
Okay, what's up?
I just thought it very ironic that the current administration of George W. Jackass is comparing the occupation of Iraq with World War II, seeing how it was an unfortunate consequence in World War II if you're a Jew, and that was an unfortunate consequence if you happen to be Middle Eastern or Muslim.
Yeah, wear the wrong T-shirt.
Yeah, you know, forget about it. You know, I, at one point, have no doubts that I could have a knock on my door because I'm so anti-administration right now. You know, it scares the hell out of me.
I've said a thousand times, I think they're in my house every day. Every day I leave, I'm sure they're coming in. And they never clean. You know, if you're going to be in my house, mop my floors and wash the windows once in a while. Save me the trouble.
Or at least put beer and wine in the fridge.
That's true. You know, did you read the story I had up on my website the other day? I forget what state this was even in. They had some town meeting about dams and fish. I don't know, you know, like some whole rural thing. And some activist, some environmental activist, said the Army Corps of Engineers said, well, we can either, like, build more dams or we can, like, get rid of the ones we have. And this environmental activist guy says we'd be better off getting rid of the dams. That's all the guy said. Do you know he had the goddamn FBI in his house saying that he said to blow up the dams?
Wow.
And he never said it. He never said blow them up. He said get rid of them.
Wow. Scary, scary.
Well, that's where this country is.
Yeah.
Thanks, darling.
You have a great...
Okay, I'm sorry, that was a little abrupt. Bob in California.
Hey, old bag of bones, what's up?
Not much, what's up by you?
I just wanted to say, hey, you know what? You need to wipe off your doorknob before you enter your apartment.
Why?
You never know.
I never know what? What are they going to put on my doorknob?
You never know.
Okay. Thank you.
Just be careful.
Okay.
I'm looking out for you.
Okay.
I'm not your enemy. I'm looking out for you.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's...
I'm listening to other stations, and I'm looking out for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. What does that mean? Now he's making me totally paranoid. But don't let that bother you. What other news do we have here? Oh, Glenn Ford died. Definitely. Oh, God, the thing about the cell phones. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. All right, I'm just, we're not going to get very far with Tabloid Thursday. The Inquirer has all these, like, anorexic people, including, you see the big manorexia guy lately? Is Carson Daly. Carson Daly really got too thin. And they actually, in an article on anorexia, on the front cover, they actually got to add John Travolta being fat, and guess what picture? Guess what picture? Kirstie Alley's ass. That picture they love so much. They just said, we love this picture. We don't care that Kirstie Alley has lost 65 pounds. We are going to put that picture of her bending over. Gardening. We're going to put that right on the cover of the Inquirer. You got to love them. She looks incredible, Kirstie Alley. She really does. Mariah Carey, incredible. What do we have? Hillary Swank's steamy affair. I hope she gets herpes. I hope she gets, like, every STD there is. I hate Hillary Swank. I want to see the Black Dahlia so badly, and I'm not going to go see it because she's in it. That's it. I hate her after what she did to her husband. Brad and Angelina are in a war over Jennifer. And, you know, Us Magazine says that Angelina Jolie is pregnant again. Oh, my God. Kirstie chows down. Yes, every time Kirstie Alley eats anything, they tell you what she ate. She has, while she was on vacation, she had a strawberry ice cream cone every day. It's 160 calories, and she's fine. She's going to go on Oprah and wear a bikini. All right, here's all these anorexic people, including Carson Daly, and... I know, it's such a cliche. But it would be nice to be anorexic for, like, you know, long enough to lose, like, 30 pounds. And then you go back. Oh, and pictures of Roseanne Barr, who just... God, does she look freaking... She doesn't look like herself. And Fat Barbara Streisand. And, who the hell is... Yeah, James Spader. I'll tell you, I love James Spader, but when you see Secretary, which was made in 2002, and you see him now on Boston Legal, he blew up like a balloon, James Spader. He really is fat now. He was much better looking when he was thin, but I still love... When does Boston Legal come back? All right, Brittany's yelling at Kevin. We have all the gowns from the Emmys. Everybody says Sandra Oh's gown was the worst. But it wasn't really. She just wore... She wore like too much jewelry with it. That's actually what it is. Oh, and now they're telling you again that Elizabeth Taylor is dying. Remember she went on Larry King and said, "Do I look like I'm dying? I'm coming out with a new line of jewelry." But now the both magazines are going, she's dying. Here's Hulk Hogan, Johnny Depp. Oh, isn't that a riot that John Mark Carr wanted Johnny Depp to play? He's right. Johnny Depp could play him. Small. Couldn't he play him? Or Heath Ledger? I'm just going by small. All right, they have Bruce Springsteen is leaving his wife for a 9/11 widow, except for the fact that that isn't true. And they have the separated Siamese twins. Gay? No way. Lance Armstrong and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, what is wrong with those two? Isn't that freaky? Because they're never dressed. They're together all day and all night. At least Lance Armstrong occasionally puts a shirt on. Matthew McConaughey, you want to buy him a shirt. You say, this guy must be making, what, $15 million a movie? Buy a shirt. And that movie, oh, God, what was it, with Sarah Jessica, Failure to Launch. One of the top 10 worst movies ever made. Don't rent it. If they gave it to you, don't rent it. Somebody handed it to you. Oh, Matt Lauer is now a sex symbol. He's too old. He's 48 years old. Give up. Liz fading fast. Ed McMahon. He's fading fast. We're all faded. This show is fading fast. I have to go make a promo with Andrew Wilkow. All right, I don't know what we have. Here we have poor Brittany and Kevin. We need new stars. Bored with these people already. Bored with John Voight and Brad Pitt. Can't go see any of their movies anymore. Oh, here's the picture. Drew Barrymore wearing Uggs. Garrett's telling me Uggs are over, and I'm telling Garrett, Uggs will never be over because they're too comfortable to ever be over. Some things just are never over. All right, I'll see you tomorrow if we're not all dead, especially me.